When New York kids under the age of 18 are convicted of a crime, they are sent upstate to the juvenile equivalent of a prison. Or they're allowed to stay at home, enrolled in mandatory programs that aim to turn them into law-abiding citizens. Study after study has shown that incarcerating kids is unlikely to keep them out of trouble in the long run. WNYC's Marianne McCune has this report on what New York State is doing to try to improve its juvenile justice system.
18-year-old Jacob held up a clerk in a gift shop when he was 15.
I had a BB gun that looked real, felt real, but didn't even work.
Jacob got away with $800 until he was caught about a half an hour later.
I finally just said, I did it.
He spent more than 2 years in a high-security facility in Claverack, New York, where kids walked with their hands folded behind their backs and weren't allowed to talk during meals. He says most people there treated him like he was always going to be a nobody. But he also met someone he credits with changing his life. Jim LaCane taught English, history, and science, and Jacob says he never gave up on anyone.
Basically, he taught me to do some soul searching and to realize who I am and to realize what I want in life and to know that I can do it as long as that's what I really want.
In a binder in his room at his Polish grandmother's house in a Canarsie housing project, Jacob has few belongings, but he keeps some of the papers he wrote for Mr. LaCane.
This one right here, as you see, the last sentence is, "Now it is time to use my acquired skills and show the world who the true person inside my body really is."
That's the kind of help Gladys Carrion wants to give all of New York's juvenile delinquents. But when she took the job as commissioner of the state's Office of Children and Family Services, she says she found a system designed more to punish than to rehabilitate.
I grew up in the same communities that these young people come from. We're so willing to just give up an entire generation of young people, and that's unacceptable to me.
Her list of complaints ranged from the large number of kids incarcerated for low-level crimes to the lack of mental health services and rehabilitative therapies. And the statistics showed the residential facilities were failing miserably, with more than 4 out of 5 young people returning to the system before they were 28.
They've made mistakes, and I understand that, but I also understand that developmentally, they're not fully formed yet, you know, and that they have a chance to change their lives, and we have a responsibility to help them do that.
So since she started in 2007, Carrion has been shaking up the system, with applause from some quarters and a lot of grumbling from others. First, she asked housing court judges to stop sending so many kids to upstate facilities, and she shut down about 16 of them. Second, she began a massive culture change within the remaining 24 facilities so that those kids who had to be locked up would have a better chance of turning their lives around.
We go through this door, we're going into program now.
Few know better than Alvin Lawley how difficult culture change can be.
I wanted a challenge. This is a challenge.
Lawley was brought in last summer to turn around the Finger Lakes Residential Center in central New York, which is under Department of Justice oversight after findings that employees physically abused kids, among other problems. Lawley's job is to implement a new model called Sanctuary. The idea is to train staff to recognize and help kids address the various traumas that made them who they are.
Don't see these kids as bad. See these kids as injured. Ask, what happened to you? Not what's wrong with you.
Plenty had happened to Jacob before he turned to robbery to solve his problems.
I never had a solid family that I felt like, you know, love me, I guess.
For most of his life, his mother left him in Brooklyn with babysitters while she worked in Long Island and stayed with a friend. One sitter sent him to school with bruises. And he says he routinely acted out to get attention. By 14, he had tried to commit suicide several times.
I guess I really just did not know how to be the man or the student or the person that I'm expected to be or that I should be.
Romeo!
Lawley wants the kids in his care to start to learn those skills.
You gonna show me some love or what?
He walks around the facility hugging or bumping fists with kids who used to be made to keep their hands behind their backs.
You look right. You look good. The way you're supposed to, right? Absolutely.
15-year-old Romeo has a cast on his arm because Lawley says he broke it punching a wall. And employees are only supposed to use physical restraints if a kid's actions pose a danger to himself or others.
Let's sit with this person. Let's get to know them. Let's get this going on. And when you start acting a fool, say, come on, what's going on here? Talk to me.
But that method is very new and very hard. As Lolly strolls in and out of the facility's various vocational programs, from computer class to cooking for a commercial kitchen, he keeps asking the kids, when are you going home? You got a plan?
You got a plan to stay out there?
Yeah, just do what I gotta do for my family.
Well, you gotta be a little more detailed and do what I have to do.
When Jacob was released, he says he took the bus home to his grandmother's house and found, for example, that he couldn't even open a bank account with the ID he'd been given. Not to mention that he didn't know how to open a bank account or behave in a job interview or apply to college. He says he felt set up to fail.
Don't just expect me to go from a secure facility where I have no responsibilities, basically, everything is done for me, to out in a world where I have to do everything, all the responsibilities put on me.
One of the things Jacob keeps in his special binder, the receipt for his new state ID.
I did it on my own, and I'm proud of myself. So I keep something as simple as a receipt like this.
After a year on the outside, Jacob is doing well. He completed his probation. He works as a stock boy in a Midtown clothing store, blocks from where he attends college. He's studying criminal justice. That's the kind of result Gladys Carrion wants for kids in her system. But if Jacob does manage to stay out of trouble through his 20s, he'll be the exception. 89% of boys end up back in the system. And for Carrion and whoever succeeds her, there are many obstacles to making the system work better. First off, the unions don't like her style.
They say they support culture change, but they haven't embraced the culture change. They haven't joined with me to say, listen, we need to do this differently. They have not.
CSEA union spokesman Stephen Medeiros says Carrion is the problem. He says his members do want to change, but Carrion has routinely blamed them for a failed system. And now she's asking them to do everything differently without enough training or resources to succeed.
They feel very unsure of the way that they are actually operating, and there's a sense that the clients have been empowered and the staff has been undermined in how you actually maintain control within the facility.
Injuries among people who work directly with youth have risen over the past 2 years, and when employees are out, others may work double shifts.
When people are working fatigued, they tend to make mistakes, or are more likely to make mistakes.
Turning placement facilities into therapeutic environments is expensive. Alvin Lolly says he's been allowed to hire 60 new employees, bringing the staff to more than 100 to effectively serve 60 kids in residence. Finger Lakes is designed to house 150 kids, but Lolly says there's no way they could effectively serve that many, even with his relatively generous staff. In Gladys Carrion's big picture, long-term plan, that's okay, because she wants smaller facilities with more staff. And to pay for it, she wants to shut down many more facilities.
The investments for far too long have been in facilities, and it really should be at the front end.
But diverting money from traditional facilities toward alternative community-based programs is complicated. Carrion is required to give a year's notice before closing a facility. That means that much of the money saved is tied up for a year before it can be put to other uses. And the city has resorted to suing New York State because it pays more every year to send fewer kids to upstate facilities. For WNYC, I'm Marianne McCune.
And as you've been hearing on WNYC, Mayor Bloomberg teamed up with Reverend Al Sharpton today at City Hall to demand changes to the state's juvenile justice system.
The current system is not helping our kids, it isn't helping taxpayers, and it isn't helping public safety.
He says the city has developed alternatives that keep young offenders in their communities for $5,000 to $17,000 compared to $270,000 annually to house a troubled teen in an upstate facility. Commissioner Carrion says in a statement she agrees conceptually with New York City's direction, but she's waiting for a detailed plan. Any changes would require legislative approval. This is WNYC.